So we have a God that not only makes promises, we have a God who keeps promises. But do we? You know, from the time we're little kids, we rejoice in promises. We're always trying to get our parents and teachers and other people to promise us this or that. And remember when you were a child, how devastating it was when someone broke their promise? A parent, a teacher, your best friend or neighbor. It was devastating. And you know, I wonder in the very heart of God how God feels when we have made so many promises in His name and so many promises to Him, and yet we don't keep our promises. But it's good that we have a God who not only makes promises, but keeps promises. When I was looking at Scripture, there's so many Scriptures about God's promises. And I wanted to just share a few of those. In Psalm 12:6, it says, "The promises of the Lord are promises that are pure." They're not just good, they're pure. They're holy. They're righteous. That God only wants for us and promises to us the very best. We're not going to get second best with God. St. Paul tells us in Romans 15, beginning in the 8th verse, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy." And further, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You see, if we didn't have promises and faithful promises, we would be hopeless people. You know, to have hope, there's got to be something out there in the future that you can count on. Something that's good that you want. And you know it's going to be there when you finally get there, whatever you have to do to endure the present to get that far along. This Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, is the candle of hope that the people had waited in darkness for generations for the Messiah to come. They had hope that God will fulfill His faithful promise to Israel. And so they waited. And yet, even in their waiting, when God answered their cry, they didn't recognize Jesus. Most didn't recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. But Paul says here in Romans 15, to those who did, they felt the promise had been kept, had been delivered. And that promise was not just to the Jews, it was also to the Gentiles. Actually, God's promise for a Messiah, for a Savior, is a promise to His entire creation. That He is going to bring about His purposes, His plan in our lives and in this world. So we can come in anticipation of Christmas in this Advent season with hope in our hearts because God's promises are pure and they come true. Paul tells us again in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all of the promises of God find their yes in Him, Christ Jesus." Every promise, and there are hundreds of promises in Scripture, finds their yes in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus is God. coming into this world to fulfill the promises that He and God the Father and the Holy Spirit have made to us. And Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 7, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit and make holiness perfect in the fear of God. Then in Hebrews, we hear these words, and we desire each one of you to show the same eagerness in realizing the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. It is through our hope, through our faith, through our patience that we see God's promises fulfilled in us. But what do people do who are overcome with depression, like that woman last week? What do you do in terms of hope in your life if you've grown up with a dim view of life itself, if you've been abused physically, sexually, or verbally, or mentally? What do to have hope in your life? You know, this internet thing is proving to be, you know, quite a ministry tool, I'm finding. Someone that I had worked with who had been, you know, mentally, physically, and sexually abused and found acceptance in our relationship through love in Christ said, my relationship with you doesn't make sense because they don't fit the rules. And she wrote me one day about the family rules she grew up with. Believe anything but the truth. Make up the truth if it doesn't fit. Never tell the truth about anything because no one will ever believe you. No one can ever have a problem except Dad. Sometimes Mom's the abuser. No one is allowed to have any issues or work their issues through, as nothing and no one else is important except to keep Dad happy. This is the one and only issue in the family. Everyone's job is to keep Dad from blowing his stack. I'm a big troublemaker if I do, and I do not deserve to be alive. No one is allowed to think or feel. Look out, because you never know when the bomb is going to drop and what you did to make it drop, and heaven help you when it does. It's always my fault. I'm the bad one. I should be ashamed of myself causing so much trouble. What am I doing here? Why was I ever born except to make people miserable and furious with me? Things and money are far more valuable than people. Looking good on the outside is the main thing, so no one else can ever know there's anything wrong. Heaven help you if you ever divulge a family secret. Never have any real friends. Nothing will ever make sense in my life. Nothing does make sense, ever. Right is wrong, and wrong is right, and it will never be the same thing twice. Just as love is really hate, and life is really death. There are people in our world who grow up believing that they're the rules. Where is their hope? Well, I wrote back that, you know, in the family of God, we don't need quite so many rules. Although, if you talk to some people, you do. But basically, we only need three rules. If we live by these three great laws of love, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. The whole Old Testament is covered in those two laws of love. And Jesus, in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, gave us a third love commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. But that email challenged me. And I realized that this woman needed to see some family rules, and there are so many in Scripture. And so to give her an answer of some different rules in life, I worked on putting together this. These are family rules, really, from Scripture. Always be honest from Proverbs. Count your blessings from Psalms. Bear each other's burdens from Galatians. Forgive and forget from Micah. Be kind and tender-hearted from Ephesians. Comfort one another from Thessalonians. Keep your promises from Romans. Be supportive of one another according to Acts. Be true to each other according to Revelations. Look after each other according to Deuteronomy. Love one another deeply from the heart, says Peter. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. And finally, fathers, parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's hard for somebody to believe that set of family rules who's grown up being abused mentally, physically, sexually. It's hard for people who haven't known about Jesus Christ and have lived in a brutal culture to believe that kind of set of family rules. But they are just a few of the promises that God makes in His holy word to you and to me. God keeps His promises. All of the promises of God, as Paul says, find their yes in Christ Jesus. God makes His promises. God keeps His promises. Do we? Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we have this hope in our hearts to see Your promises fulfilled in our world, in our lives. That's why we have hope. And yet we hang our heads, because we know we've made so many promises and have failed to keep them. We have made promises right here in Your church and failed to keep them. But You don't withdraw Your promises from us. You keep loving us. You keep reaching out to us through the power of Your Holy Spirit. You keep reminding us as the seasons of the church year go by that Your promises are pure, they're for us, and that You want to say yes to all of those promises. Help us to accept Your yes in Christ Jesus, especially as we come to this table today, as we accept Your invitation to feed on His body and His blood, that we might know You in a special, special way. Transform us into a faithful people. Let Your church here be a safe place for those to come who need to share their burdens without judgment and in confidence. And we pray for those who are seeking to learn to live by a new set of rules, that you will bless them, that they can trust the family rules of the kingdom. So we come to you with hope in our hearts for more faith, for more endurance in keeping our promises, because we know that your promises are our foundation for hope for now and forevermore. Amen.